guy, my interest would be futile. If he sleeps with Jupiter when he has his own bed next door, he's probably not interested in me. Though the thought of him being interested in her is also a little baffling. For the first time since Jupiter and I reconciled, I decide to be 100% honest. I can't tell you what I want, Jupiter, I say. I have absolutely no idea. A few days later, everything changes. Tuesday morning, when Jupiter arrives to pick me up for school, she's beaming and fidgety, and her eyeballs look bedazzled. It's unnerving. Is everything... Don't ask. You'll find out later, she says. She spends the 12 minutes of our ride to school humming, and I spend the rest of the day peeking around corners and flinching at every unexpected sound. By the time the final bell rings, I'm exhausted and perturbed, since nothing out of the ordinary has happened. But then I walk to the parking lot and find Courtney waiting for me instead of Jupiter. Is everything...
Don't even ask. Get in, he says.
I don't even have the energy to object. We ride in silence, apart from the 90s hip-hop mix he's got playing. And I'm panicking a little. I hate surprises. But the smell of his cologne is definitely helping. As we exit the highway, 46 hellish minutes later, he finally looks over at me.
You all right?
Don't you have basketball practice today? Is the only response I can come up with. He laughs.
Nah, no game this week, so coach gave us a day off.
Oh. Pretty soon, we're in downtown Atlanta, entering a parking garage. Once we're parked and headed toward our destination on foot, I feel like there are 1,000 grasshoppers on speed, bouncing around in my gastrointestinal tract. Courtney, where are we going?
You'll see, he says. We're almost there.
I spend the rest of the walk taking clandestine pranayama breaths, and soon Courtney's opening the door of a place called the Shepherd's House. He ushers me inside and down a short hallway to a massive room that houses what looks like some sort of clothing bank. All around us, people perceptibly in need of new clothes are sifting through the racks and piles of hanging and folded goods. There's even a wall of shoes. From the look on Courtney's face, you'd think we'd arrived at the site of some long-buried treasure.
This is so much more amazing than I expected, he says.
What is this place? He smiles down at me.
Look over there, he says, pointing with his chin.
There's a long line of people holding stacks of the clothes they've chosen, waiting to have them bagged by a tall, salt-and-pepper-bearded black man standing behind a long table.
Wild, right? Courtney says. Talk about hiding in plain sight.
Huh? He looks at me with his eyebrows raised.
Guessing you missed the sign outside the door.
There was a sign?
Come.
And he pulls me into the hallway. There is a sign. It says, Carl's Closet. Wait. I turn to Courtney. He's bouncing on the balls of his feet with his hands in his pockets, grinning. There's no way, I say, peeking into the room at the bearded man. Carousel Carl was more circular.
Look again, Courtney says. It's in the eyes.
I step back into the room and watch the man. Tilt my head this way and that. A lady and a little boy approach the table to get their selections bagged. And when the bearded man looks down at the boy, who's probably six or so, A massive smile explodes up into his sunken cheeks, making his face shine like the moon. Jumping Jehoshaphat. Oh my God, I say, it really is him. Carousel Carl.
Mm-hmm,
Courtney says. I don't even know what to do with myself. He and I have barely talked about Carl since the house field trip. But how?
Well, I know we haven't had time to investigate together, but I kept poking around on my own.
Is he serious?
It was honestly one dead end after another, and I hate to admit it, but I was ready to give up,
he says.
Jupe's the one who tipped me off. Every few months she goes around the neighborhood collecting clothing to donate to this place. I'd never thought twice about it before, but of course hearing her say Carl's Closet this time got my wheels turning. She told me the owner's name was Donovan Circuit, but when I found an old picture of Carl online for her to look at, she gasped.
Whoa. The man smiles at the next person in line. So, it really is him?
Seems to be, Courtney says. I popped by after a game a couple of weeks ago to scope him out. Brought some clothes and introduced myself. He's older and way thinner, but I really do think it's him.
Wow. I can't stop staring. Part of me wishes Bess was here. Not that I've talked to her since she left, but still.
He introduced himself as Donovan, so my guess is he changed his name to get off the grid and dubbed the place Carl's Closet in tribute to his former glory or something.
It's like a mafia movie. Courtney laughs and looks at Carl again.
I gotta hand it to you, Sprinkles. You were right about finding him helping. I never really took the time to grieve, I don't think. And I still miss my dad. Probably even more now that I've let myself admit it. But seeing our boy Carl alive and well is like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Don't really feel the need to say any more than that.
So you want to meet him?
A woman who's just gotten her clothes bagged walks away from the table, and as the next person comes up, the bearded man's eyes roam the room and land on Courtney and me. He smiles, like there's nothing the least bit odd about two random teenagers hanging out near the door of his clothing bank. No, I say, smiling back at the man, and then turning to look up at Courtney. He grins down at me, like that's the answer he expected. I spend most of the drive home looking bewildered, because Courtney glances over at me every few minutes like he's not sure he did the right thing by exposing me to Carl's Closet. As we take our exit, I send Jupiter an SOS text and ask Courtney to swing by her house before he drops me at mine. Her front door opens the moment we arrive, and I jump out of the car, sprint up the walkway, and hug-tackle her. As soon as Courtney makes it inside, I pull him into the hug and start sobbing. This is love. For these two people who don't know me from a bar of soap to invest themselves in my semi-irrational desire to find out what happened to my childhood hero? I can smell her shampoo and his cologne, and feel her boobs on one side and his abs on the other. And I literally want to kiss her and him right now. I'm squeezing them and blubbering and, oh my God, thank you guys so much. This is the most chivalrous thing anyone's ever done for me, and I have no idea how I could ever repay you, Ing. When Jupiter mumbles,
don't thank me, baby girl. This was all Coop.
From where her face is buried in my clavicle. When what she says sinks in, my heart starts racing, and my vision blurs like I've been staring into fluorescent light bulbs. The spot where Courtney's hand cups my waist feels like it's on fire, and his sinewy forearm against my lower back makes me want to melt into him. As ridiculous as that sounds, I look up at his face, and he's smiling down at me with his skin all brown and his teeth all white and his eyes all dazzly. Now, I'm even more of a mess because I am definitely falling for Courtney Cooper, right in this very instant. The fact that I can picture my family's carnival photo without wanting to set things on fire or dissolve into a blubbering puddle, that the Carl conundrum is solved, and it's thanks to him, that he cares about me this much. It's safe to say, this is going to be a cataclysm. 20. Saltigrade. Adjective. Progressing by leaps. Daddy's 50th birthday coincides with the Lunar New Year, a.k.a. Bess is back for another visit sooner than I'm expressly ready for. So 6 days post-Carousel Carl closure-turned-Courtney-curveball, we host a minor fete at my house to celebrate both occasions. Daddy has too much to drink at dinner and thusly breaks out his Jamaican accent to regale his adult guests with tales from his childhood on the island. So, after loading our plates with rice cake, me, Jupiter, Courtney, Britton, Golly, Bess, and Brianna, whom Bess asked me to invite, head down to the basement. For a while, we stuff our faces and talk about nothing, but the moment there's a lull in the conversation, Bess sets down her ginger beer and says, "We should play Would You Rather?" At first, everything is fine. Some of the questions are gross, but all are fairly innocuous. Would you rather spend the rest of your life a little too hot or a little too cold? Would you rather have constant BO or excessive body hair? Would you rather be uncontrollably sweaty or itchy? Would you rather fall out of an airplane or into a shark tank? But then, Bess changes the tone. Brianna, would you rather be completely alone for the rest of your life or marry a guy? Would I have to sleep with him? Brianna says, and we all laugh. 'Cause, nah.
I've got a good one, Golly says. Ray.
When he says my name, I know I'm in trouble, so I instinctively scoot closer to Jupiter, who's sitting beside me.
Would you rather be trapped in a car for 3 days with baby Brit or with Coop?
Man, that's a no-brainer, Britton says.
Me, obviously. Don't be so sure about that, dog.
Courtney looks at me and waggles his eyebrows, and I'm sure my face is the brightest of pinks. I wish he wouldn't say or do these types of things. It ratchets up the difficulty level of keeping all these feelings in check.
I'd rather be trapped with Jupiter, I say, hugging her arm and laying my head on her shoulder.
Everyone laughs again, except for my sister. Her eyes narrow, and I quickly look away because it gives me the type of goose pimples people get in horror films when they sense the approach of the murderous antagonist. As the night goes on, there's lots more talking and laughing, and at one point Daddy bumbles downstairs to give each of us a red envelope with a $50 bill in it. I forget about it. But then, 20 minutes or so after the last person leaves, Britton, Bess comes into my room and sits on the bed. The moment I look at her, she says, "Ray, you need to be careful with Jupiter." Which, huh? You realize she's into you, right? The blood bypasses my face and rushes up into my scalp. This is exactly the type of asinine assumption Jupiter hates. First of all, no, she's not, I say. And second, that's a little presumptuous, don't you think?
I see how she is with you, sis,
Bess continues. She's always smiling and touching you and gazing admiringly. Just because she's gay doesn't mean she's into me, Bess, I say. If you were really paying attention, you'd notice she's the same way with Courtney, and she's obviously not into guys. She's just affectionate with the people she cares about. Oh, she's totally into Courtney, too. Bess bulldozes on. Even Brianna can see that. She's just into you more. I roll my eyes to feign annoyance, but inside, my bodily fluids are bubbling to a boil. Seeing as Brianna's probably bothered that Jupiter isn't into her, I can't say I trust her judgment. Bess smirks at me then. There are those scary movie chills again. I hate to admit this, but I can totally see where the witch rumors came from when we were kids. The way she's looking at me now makes me feel like my soul is getting sucked into her dark eyes, black hole style. You know who else is into Courtney? She says. Who? You. I don't respond. You try to hide your feelings for Courtney by hanging all over Jupiter, which is rude. Whatever, Bess, I say. But it's defensive, and we both know it. She just sits there, grinning like some mind-reading Bessshire cat, and the longer she smirks at me, the more furious I get. You should go now. Ray, I'm just trying to help you. You've been around me for a sum total of 8 days out of 5 years, and you think you can just barge in here all smug with your little theories? You have no idea what you're talking about, Bess. She narrows her eyes and bites down on her lower lip, examining me. It takes maybe 1.5 seconds to make me uncomfortable. Could you please stop looking at me like you're trying to figure out which part of my face to bite first? I'll say this once, and then I'll leave you alone, she says. That's when I see the legitimate sadness tugging at the corners of her mouth. Don't lead Jupiter on, Ray. It's not fair to her, and it's really shitty of you. If you're not into her, you should give her some space, especially since you have feelings for Courtney. The words hang there, and the air in the room goes dense with the truth of them. It's infuriating that despite her extended absence, my big sister can still read me like the Dr. Seuss books she used to recite at bedtime. You're using her, Ray, she goes on. Don't give her false hope. The longer you blur the line by touching and flirting with her, I don't want to talk about this. Bess takes a deep breath and looks me in the eye. Jupiter is watching you, Ray. There's pain in her eyes every time she catches you looking at Courtney when you think nobody's paying attention. She gets up to leave. The glare of death Jupe shot me across the New Year's Eve doll-burning fire pops into my mind. I gulp. I know you didn't ask for my advice, but I'm giving it to you anyway, for Jupiter's sake. You need to be upfront with her, Raby. And Bess walks out of the room, pulling the door shut behind her. Of course, I don't heed her admonition. As a matter of fact, I spend the next month and 5 days doing exactly what Bess told me not to, rarely leaving Jupiter's side, constantly smiling and laughing and touching her. And just like Bess suggested, when Courtney's around, my clinginess intensifies. I hold Jupiter's hand and sit super close and play in her hair and whisper little jokes right into her ear. What Bess didn't know, and therefore couldn't call me out on, is that Courtney and I secretly text. A lot. First thing in the morning, during the school day, before bed at night, even sometimes while Jupiter and I are hanging out. Does this make me feel villainously duplicitous and like the most awful person on earth? Absolutely. But the thought of Courtney figuring out how I really feel before I'm ready for him to know. He's scary enough to make me do all manner of unscrupulous, people-not-pleasing things to maintain my cover. Unfortunately, whether or not I'm ready to come clean about my double life is officially irrelevant. I just got a we-need-to-talk message from Jupiter. I'm 90% certain it has to do with Courtney. Reason? Last night, after the guys' basketball game, the five of us were hanging out in Jupiter's room. Courtney and I were texting, but I put my phone down because Jupiter asked me to braid her hair. Once finished, I went to the bathroom, leaving said phone face up on the bedside table. And when I came back, there was a new message from Courtney, lighting up the lock screen. Tell me how you really feel, Sprinkles. Wink, smiley face. I'd been ranting about some guy from the rival school catcalling me in the parking lot. Jupiter was sitting on the bed when I returned, so if she glanced to her left at any point, there's a strong possibility she saw said message. And now, we need to talk. Likely not good. Okay, I text back. Come on over. During the 24 minutes it takes her to arrive, I change clothes 3 times, put on makeup, take it off, clean my room, decide it looks too sterile, rumple the bed covers, and lay a book open pages down on the pillow. I also run downstairs and make a bowl of popcorn and grab and chug half a 20-ounce bottle of tepid ginger ale. When the doorbell rings, I pinch my cheeks and smile big so I look excited to see her. And when she smiles back and steps inside, I hug her like it's been forever. I made popcorn for us, I say when we pull apart. Do you want something to drink before we head upstairs? She squints at me a little and shakes her head, something I have no clue how to interpret. My legs feel heavier with each step, and I wonder if she can sense my jitters. Then we're inside my room, and I'm sitting on the edge of the rumpled bed as she slowly pushes the door closed. Once it clicks shut, I see her shoulders rise and fall with the depth of an obviously preparatory breath. And then she turns to look me in the eye. So, Jupiter, I have to tell you something, I say. Her eyebrows lift.
Okay.
Come sit. I take her hand and pull her to the bed to sit beside me. Now she's the one who looks nervous. Okay. Gotta go for broke. I've wanted to tell you this for a while now, but I wasn't sure how. Her expression changes. I'd almost say there's hope in her eyes, but that wouldn't make sense, so I charge on. Jupiter, I think I might be in love with Courtney. Her mouth opens and then snaps shut, and then she's blinking and blinking and blinking and blinking. I know, I'm sorry. I put my face in my hands. There's a pause full of poison-edged razor blades that I'm certain will slash me to pieces. But then she clears her throat.
What are you sorry for, Ray?
For not telling you sooner, I say. For using you, lying to you by omission, flirting with him behind your back, thinking about him pretty much every second that I spend with you. Not being upfront about it.
Well,
she cracks her knuckles. I've never seen her do that before. Is she going to punch me?
I mean, it's not really any of my business, is it? And it's not like I didn't see the signs.
I exhale. This is going better than I expected. Yeah, I figured you'd noticed, I say. I thought you were mad at me. She clears her throat again and looks down at the bedspread. I wasn't. Uh-oh. But you are now? She breathes deep again before lifting her chin to look at me.
No, she says. It's fine.
Loaded pause, then.
So, what are you going to do?
Well, and I had no idea I was ready to answer this question, but his birthday is in a couple of weeks, right? The 24th? She pulls back a little and blinks some more, but nods.
I know you celebrate together. I have zero intention of interfering with your traditions.
The tension leaves her shoulders. I was thinking maybe the week after I'd just come right out with it, you know? Pull a little daring do and ask if he wants to go on a date.
Okay.
You've taught me a lot about agency, so I'd really like to grab mine by the proverbial balls and just go with it.
She smiles, kind of sadly, it seems, then looks me in the eye. I think that's an excellent plan, baby girl.
So you approve?
She nods.
I do. You'll be good for him. Just don't ask me to get involved. You're on your own in that department.
She winks.
I throw my arms around her then. Jupiter, I'm so glad we had this talk. She stiffens at first. Must have caught her off guard. But then she says,
Me too, Ray. I'm glad to.
Book 3. Another One Bites the Dust. 21. Save Me. The Game, 1980. You are fine. You are. It may not feel like it right now, but you're fine. Okay, Jupes? Yes, the girl you came to pour your heart out to cut you off to tell you she thinks she might be in love with your male best friend. Yes, the confession you spent weeks practicing on Freddie Mercury and working up the courage to make just detonated on the tip of your tongue. Yes, you had to swallow the bitter, smoldering, ash-flavored pieces, and yes, they burned your throat as they went down. Yes, Brianna's warning about falling for straight girls is now ringing in your head like a fire alarm, and yes, you're wishing you'd listened. Yes, Ray's hugging you now, and you can smell her coconut shampoo and her maybe a little teeny bopperish but totally works for her perfume, and even a little bit of the sweet sweat at her hairline. And yes, these are all the scents that, until 5 minutes ago, made up the fragrance of possibility, but now reek of crushed dreams. Yes, her skinny arms around your waist and her breath on your neck and her perfect little breasts against your arm are driving you fucking crazy right now. But you, Jupiter Yolanda Maria Charity Sanchez, are fine. You're fine. I've got to get going, you say, unlatching her arms from your midsection. Oh, but you just got here, she pouts. Her lips, you remember how they felt? Nope, not going there since you were right about that too. Sorry, sweet pea, duty calls. And you stand because if she asks what duty, you'll say, and she'll know you're lying. Community service planning? Mm-hmm, you reply. She tilts her head and smiles, gazes up at you with those green eyes. God damn it. Beautiful and altruistic. You're some girl's dream woman, you know that? Is she serious right now? She rises. Come on, I'll walk you out. And her palm brushes the inside of your wrist as she interlaces her fingers with yours to pull you to the door. You want to snatch away and scream at her. You really do. Like, just on fucking principle, you want to snatch your hand away and tell her not to touch you. Draw back into the no-contact zone like you did after the incident on New Year's Eve. Because this shit is not cool. This let me be all over you and hold your hand and act like your girlfriend thinks she does. Especially after telling you she's into a boy. Your boy, as a matter of fact. But you don't pull away because the sensation of your hand in hers, which is thinner than yours, but super soft and cool at the palm with icy fingertips you've imagined skating over your skin, makes you feel like your veins are filled with lit gunpowder. So you hold on tight and let her lead you down the stairs and out the front door. It's cloudy now, like even the sun is trying to spare you the embarrassment of being seen walking hand in hand with the object of your unrequited affection like some lovesick puppy. A squirrel looks up at you from the lawn, seems to shake its head, and then scampers away, and yes, you're beginning to feel a little pathetic. You've reached the car you share with the boy this radiant girl thinks she's in love with, so she turns to face you and lets go. The feeling of loss is sharp and immediate and painful, like that time said boy rolled over and crushed your boob while asleep in your bed. Thanks for coming by, she says, bouncing on her toes now that she's free from the burden of closeted romantic feelings, a burden you realize you won't be free of until you can somehow manage to get over her. It's such bullshit. You force a smile. No problem, baby girl. We'll chat soon, okay? You turn to open the car door, now anxious to get away from her, but then her arms slip around your waist from behind, and she crushes her svelte little body against yours. You wish there was an awareness knob you could crank down to zero, because her hips against your butt, and her breast against your back, and her right forearm against your belly, and her left forearm up under your boobs are making you ape shit. I love you so much, Jupiter, she says, and she sits her chin on your shoulder. Her warm breath grazes your ear. And then there's fury and fire and pleasure and pain pulsing at every point of contact. God, you hate her so much right now. Love you too, Ray, you say. I'll keep you posted on everything, okay? Promise you won't tell him? I promise. You can feel the tears build as those words leave your lips, but it's a promise you intend to keep because Ray is your friend. She's always been only your friend. So you are fine. She lets go, you get into the car, she says bye, you close the door. She's back on her porch and disappearing inside the house, and you're turning the key in the ignition. As you put the car in reverse, it hits you that Save Me, one of the saddest Queen songs ever, is pouring from the speakers like some kind of noxious tear-inducing gas. It started off so well. They said we made a perfect pair. And now you're crying. Curse you and your voice made of sad rainbows, Freddie Mercury. You drive. I have no heart. I'm cold inside. I have no real intent. No. You look at yourself in the rearview mirror as you pull to a stop at a red light. Absolutely not, dupes. You suck this shit up right ass now. Out of the corner of your eye, you see the young man in the next car over gesturing for you to roll your window down. He's holding up his phone with a GPS map on the screen. Must be lost. So rare is it to encounter a young man willing to put aside his ego when in need of help. Your spirits actually lift a bit as you push the button to comply. What can I do for you? You say with a smile as the window drops. Yo, you really beautiful, mommy. I seen you crying and just wanted you to know I'll be a shoulder if you need one. And he winks at you. Aw, that's sweet, you say in a voice dripping with butter pecan syrup. Your personal favorite. Let me give you my number. He's smiling now, waving his phone to show you he's been anticipating this moment. Asshole. It's 1-800-I-AM-NOT-YOUR-MOMMY, and I'd rather be waterboarded with my own tears than come near your misogynistic lump of toad shit shoulder. His eyebrows draw together as if pulled by magnets, and you smile as you await the magic words. Man, fuck you, you stupid bitch! And there they are. Ridiculous how predictable some of these guys can be. Friggin' patriarchy, you swear. He peels out the moment the light turns green, and you realize you feel better. More you. More me. Because I'm fine, I say, settling back into my skin. I am fine. After hanging my coat downstairs and dragging myself up to my room, I open the door to find Courtney Cooper kicked back in the Lazy Boy. He's wearing basketball shorts and a t-shirt with the sleeves and most of the sides cut off, just chilling. The only light in the room is coming from the television. If the empty VHS box on the dresser is any indication, he's watching Dead Reckoning again. And he's got my bottle of pineapple coconut water in one hand, my pint of salted caramel gelato in the other, and my bag of Boom Chicka Pop kettle corn in his lap. Bastard. Sup, he says without looking up. I flip on the light. Aw, Jupe, you're killing the vibe, dog. Chugs the rest of my coconut water. Eyes have not left the television screen. Are you even serious right now, Coop? Shh, this is the best part. Did he really just... Uh-uh. I walk over and unplug the TV. Jupe! He throws his hands, with my comestibles still in them, into the air. Like you're seriously sitting in my room eating my food in front of my TV and you're gonna tell me to shush? Yes, I'm overreacting. It's just looking at him now with that stupid rich brown skin and those stupid copper eyes and that stupid jawline and those stupid frickin' muscles. All that in addition to knowing who he is and how beautiful a heart he has. Well, it just makes perfect sense that Ray thinks she might be in love with him. If I were straight, I probably would be too. I glance at my closet door, try to gather some strength from Freddie Mercury. On the poster, he's got his head down and his fist in the air, utterly in the zone. Freddie, what would you do if you went to tell someone you think you love her? But before you can get the words out, she's telling you she thinks she loves someone else. It's not like I didn't notice how she looks at him. I just chose not to look too far into it because she was always with me, Jupe. Coop has appeared in front of me and is reaching up to take my face in his hands. He's giving me that, oh boy, something's up with my best friend look that makes his eyes appear to be shimmering. He is definitely, for sure, 100% going to say yes when she tells him. I see how he looks at her just like I see how she looks at him. I still remember waking up that one morning a week before Thanksgiving to find him gone. How panicked I felt before I had convinced myself that he just needed something from home and gone to get it. How relieved when I got over there and called out to him and he came bopping down the stairs, alive and in one piece. But then, Ray's here, he said, like it was no big deal. Her dad's out of town and she kind of had a crisis in the middle of the night, so I went to get her. Can she stay with you this weekend? And of course I said yes. I obviously cared about Ray too. So much so, I forced down the barbed lump of betrayal that had lodged in my windpipe. I really should have known then that he and she would become a thing. It's actually a damn miracle they haven't gotten together already. Come to think of it, I guess I've always been in the way. Jupe, what's going on? His hands are cupping my face now, and he rubs his gigantic thumbs over my cheekbones. We're talking about a guy who can hold a basketball in one hand. The eyes, the whitish nose, the hint of a mustache. I wonder how often Ray imagines kissing his plumpy lips. Do not cry. Do not cry. Do not cry. Do not cry. Definitely going to cry, so I slip my arms inside the armholes of his ruined shirt and around his waist, and I press my cheek against his chest so he won't see the tears spill over. When I slide my hand up his back to pull him super close and squeeze him as tight as I can, his skin erupts in goosebumps. I bet he gets those just thinking about Ray. You're starting to freak me out now, Jupes. He tries to pull away, but I squeeze tighter. Just hold me, you Neanderthal. You're being weird. I had a rough day. Be supportive. He wraps his adolescent tightened arms around my neck and shoulders and kisses my forehead. Want to talk about it? Completely against my will, I sniffle. 3 times, rapid fire. Sniff, sniff, sniff. On the same inhale. He tenses up. Are you crying, Jupiter? What? No. He tries to pull away again. You're totally lying. Shut up. If you drool on my shirt, shut up, Courtney. He laughs. All right, I won't cry. You better not. Can we sit down at least? You're squeezing so tight, I'm losing circulation to my lower extremities. Doesn't seem to be affecting your pelvic region. Long pause. You can feel that? It's getting pretty well acquainted with my belly button. What, do you tuck it in your waistband or something? Well, this is embarrassing. You're such a boy. I'd be totally grossed out if I didn't need this hug so bad. He chuckles. After a few seconds longer, I wipe my wet face on his shirt, let go, and put a little space between us. For a minute, we just stand there staring at each other. My eyes creep their way down to his, what I felt against my stomach. Sadly, his t-shirt is hiding the evidence. I don't know what it is, but lately, nope, never mind. When I look back at his face, he's staring at me with an eyebrow raised. Shit. As my face heats, I clear my throat and turn to Freddie Mercury again. So could we maybe start that movie over? I could use a little noir femme fatale. Wait, you're really not going to tell me what's going on? Nope. But I'm your best pal! He throws his arms up in exasperation. I roll my eyes. I'm going to change. Once I'm inside the closet with the door closed, I switch on the light and peel off the outfit I fussed over for the Ray I really like you discussion that never did and never will happen. That's one way to ruin a pair of jeans. I tug on Coop's team sweatpants and hoodie from last season, pull the hood up, and turn to look in the full-length mirror on the door. I'm now maroon from head to ankle, like a big splat of dried blood. How appropriate, since I feel like I got stabbed. When I come out, after a very sudden, very brief burst of tears, Coop smiles at me from the Lazy Boy. He's got the movie rewound to the beginning and apparently made a run downstairs to get more of my snacks. Kettle corn, madam? He holds the bag open as I approach. You do realize it's barbaric to go into other people's houses and eat their food, right? Hush your mouth and get over here, woman. Normally, I'd balk, but right now, I'm so glad he's here, I give a forced eye roll and go climb into his lap. Okay, who the hell are you, and what did you do with the young lady who would have punched me for issuing such a flagrantly patriarchal command? Shh. You sure you're okay, Jupes? He puts an arm around my waist and slips the other one under my knees to readjust me so he's cradling me like a baby. It occurs to me that after Ray's confession, I should probably feel guilty about being with him like this. But I don't. Does that make me a shitty feminist? Shitty person even? Probably. But I honestly don't care. Until Ray makes her declaration, Courtney Cooper still belongs to me. I am now, I say, and I breathe him in and close my eyes. 22. We Will Rock You. News of the World, 1977. Over the next week, I watch the two of them with my eagle eyes every chance I get. What's interesting, if Ray hadn't told me how she really feels about Coop, I wouldn't have picked up on it. Like, yes, I often catch her giving him goo-goo eyes, but I wouldn't assume it was anything more than a schoolgirl crush. And she's also still super clingy with me, which is still, simultaneously, infuriating and intoxicating. One thing is for sure, though. The more I watch him, the more I understand not only what Ray sees in him, but also how much I've taken for granted. With the other girls he dated, part of me always knew he'd be back. He just never seemed that into any of them. But Ray is different. When she's around, Coop lights up like the fireballs that shoot out of a Roman candle. He laughs more. He's less guarded. There's no denying their chemistry or the fact that they get each other, that they share something he and I don't. I can see how much I'm going to lose when they get together, because they will get together. There's no doubt in my mind. It's making me desperate to enjoy as much of him and make as much of our friendship as possible while I still have time. The Friday morning after Ray skewers my heart like a shish kebab, I wake up at 5:47 a.m. with Coop's thingy poking me in the ass. He's still very much dead to the world. I slip out from under his arm and sit up to check my phone. There's a picture message from that dastardly temptress Shauna Wilmington. I hate her. She's dangling a cherry over her outstretched tongue while wearing this appallingly thin tank top with nothing underneath and skimpy blush pink lace underwear. The attached text says, "Waiting for you to pop dis cherry, space girl." The idiot calls me space girl because, one, Jupiter, obviously, and two, she swears up and down that hooking up with me is guaranteed to be out of this world. She also has a boyfriend she has sex with all the time, a.k.a. that cherry got popped a long time ago. Did I mention I hate her? Still, though, seeing her like that does remind me of all the things I haven't done. Not that I'm ashamed of not having done them. I have my reasons, and I stand by them. It's just that, well, I kind of hoped to do at least some of them with Ray. And there it is again, the memory of her hand on my hip and her fingertips on my neck, how my whole body jolted awake at the feel of her lips against mine. I peek over my shoulder at Coop. The thought of him kissing her instantly brings tears to my eyes. And since he clearly likes her, they'll probably wind up doing stuff even he hasn't done. At least he says he hasn't. I vividly remember the day in seventh grade when Coop and I were sitting in our regular seat during the bus ride home, and he turned to me and said, "Hey, Jupes, you think you and me could do it together for the first time?" In response to what was surely a wildly confused expression on my face, he went on, "You know, it. And he looked around. Sex? Back then, I was obviously appalled, but thinking about it now and the idea of him doing it with Ray, my eyes trail down his body to where his pelvic region is hidden beneath the blanket. He rolls onto his back and, well, good morning to you too. I startle so hard I fall off the bed. Jupes, you all right? Yep, rise and shine. And I scramble to my feet to go shower. Except the whole scrubbing my thoughts clean thing is a fail. All morning, I find myself losing focus in classes because my mind keeps drifting off to what ifs. Mechanically speaking, a girl wouldn't need to be into a boy to let a boy into her, would she? This is exactly what I'm thinking about as I read the same paragraph in my history book for the fifth time at lunch, which Coop and I have alone together on Fridays, when he says, "Hey, Jupes, I know it's none of my business, but I'm a little surprised you still have all of those," and points to my charm bracelet as I'm lifting a California roll to my lips. I freeze, mouth open. "As much time as you and Ray spend together," he goes on, "I was sure she'd have one or two of them by now," which of course throws me into a mental tailspin. Ray technically was my first kiss, but it wasn't consensual, so while there's no way I'd actually give her the charm, there's this niggling voice in the back of my head that says I'll be lying when I do finally give it away. Will I have to tell the person? I never told Coop because I've been trying to act like the kiss never happened. We see how that's going. But now I can't stop staring at his lips. "What?" He brushes away crumbs that aren't there. "Nothing," I say, looking away. Remembered I have a history quiz this afternoon. You were saying? Nothing else to say, really. He shrugs his muscly shoulders, which, fine, are kind of nice to look at, and shifts his gaze across the cafeteria. Y'all just act like two people in a relationship is all. And as Courtney Cooper's best friend of over a decade, I can see in the set of his jaw and his slightly narrowed eyes, it bothers him. "Yep, nothing to worry about there, Coopy," I say, even though it kills me. "Ray Chin is only into guys. I'm certainly not the one she wants." For the rest of the day, I think about how relieved my best friend seemed when I told him Ray and I are only friends. It's like I'm losing him already, and it sets me way on edge. Not that Ray notices, despite being all over me. At Coop's basketball game that night, she only has eyes for him. With every squeal and shout and gasp and "Go, Courtney, go!" that comes out of her mouth, I sink a little further into my festering pit of mingled despair and desperation. At a timeout, "We Will Rock You" pours from the massive speakers in the gym, and for a second, I latch on to Freddie's voice and try to pull myself together. But just as Brian May's earth-shattering guitar solo kicks off, Ray leans over and whispers, "Hey, is it true that Courtney's a virgin?" I turn to look at her and can see the hunger in her eyes, green like some famished dragon with its sights set on a delectable prince to devour. And yeah, it pisses me off, especially since mere moments ago she was holding my hand. Sure, I was letting her, was enjoying it even, but to know that the feeling of my palm against hers has so little of an effect on her that she's actively thinking about Coop's sexual status, she might as well have baked everything I stand to lose in a pie and smashed it in my face. So, I make a decision, and an hour or so later, as I drive Coop and me home once the game is over, we won, I decide to put my idea on the table before I lose my nerve. "Great game tonight," I say, easing in. He reaches over from the passenger seat and tugs on my ear. "Thanks, big head." "So I've been thinking, oh shit, somebody sound the alarm." I shoot him a glare and he laughs. "What have you been thinking, oh benevolent one?" he says. I put both hands on the steering wheel to keep them from shaking. "Your 18th birthday is in a week, right?" "That is correct. March 24th. Same as the past 17 years, Jupe. Shut up." He laughs again. "Dude, you've been hella weird the past few days." "No, I haven't." "Oh, yes, you have." His eyes are totally burning a hole in the side of my face right now. "I've just got a lot on my mind." "Well, spit it out." "Maybe I don't want to. You're the one who started this conversation, you weirdo." Man, I hate when he's right. "So let's hear it," he says. "Okay, fine," I reply. "So you know how we've been best friends for almost 11 years now?" "Best years of my life, I'm telling you." He squeezes my leg just above the knee. Deep breath. "Well, I was thinking that since it's your 18th birthday, I'd really like to give you the best gift I can think of as you enter legal manhood and everything. Go on. Well, when we were younger, you... my cheeks are in inferno. You told me... Well, you said you pledged your... This is one of those times I wish he would make fun of how dumb I sound or something. But he doesn't. I take another breath. I want to give you a gift you'll always remember and treasure, I say. Well, hopefully you'll treasure it. Shit, I'm rambling. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is I was thinking that maybe my gift to you should be letting you give yourself, I guess would be the way to put it, to me. The silence that fills the car is like smoke. I signal left to turn onto our street, and the sound of the blinker makes me feel like a friggin' bomb is about to go off. He doesn't say anything. I'm glad I'm driving, because there's no way in hell I could look at him right now. I might not ever speak again. Who would have thought Courtney's silence would be worse than hearing what Ray had to say? I pull into my driveway and am ready to fly out of the car and up to my closet when he puts his hand over mine as I reach to remove the key from the ignition. Hold up, he says. In almost 11 years, I've never seen the expression Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV currently has on his face. I can't even describe it. My eyes trace his cheekbones, jawline, neck, the bumps of his collarbone near his throat. His Adam's apple bobs. Jupes, are you saying what I think you're saying? Guess that depends on what you think I'm saying. He shakes his head. I'm serious, Jupiter. This really isn't something to joke about. My eyes drop to my hands in my lap. I wasn't joking, Coop. More silence. I couldn't get out of the car right now if I tried. Actually, I won't ever be able to move again until he gives me an answer. I get if you think it's a bad idea, I say. I guess it was presumptuous of me to assume that something you said in seventh grade still stands after all this time. It does. Huh? Don't look at him. Don't look at him. It definitely still stands, but... What? Looking at him now. But what, Coop? He meets my eyes. So you only want to because I asked when we were in middle school? Huh? I mean, yeah, it's a big deal because it's the one thing I've saved or whatever. He stares through the windshield. But it's kind of a big deal for you too, Jupes. At least it should be. I mean, I'd be a willing participant. He turns back to me and raises an eyebrow. Ugh, that didn't come out right. What am I supposed to say? That I know everything is about to change? That I know when Ray becomes his girlfriend, they'll slowly disappear from my life? That even when they do hang with me once they become an item, or whatever the hell colloquial term old people use to refer to young couples, I'm likely to cut the interaction short because it'll be too painful to see the boy who's been the best friend I've ever known wrapped around the finger of the first girl since elementary school I've had genuine feelings for? That life as we've known it, Jupe and Coop, will effectively be over? I can't tell him any of that, and I definitely can't tell him the real reason for the suggestion. Despite my romantic and sexual preferences, I want what he promised me so she won't be able to have it. Ray Chin might eventually get the rest of Courtney Cooper, but that part of him, that first time, she can't have that. It's mine. I really want to, Coop, I say, rotating my body toward him so he knows I'm dead serious. I want that part of you, and I want you to have that part of me. Now we're just staring into each other's eyes, and it's getting really intense. Like I swear the temperature in the car has gone up 10 degrees. He really is a sight to behold, Coop is. And beyond that, there are so many things I love about him. He's kind and strong, and he believes in the intrinsic value of women as human beings. He's fun and deep and loyal. I really do love him so, so much, and I've been lucky to have him all this time. He breaks the eye contact and looks back out the windshield. Adam's apple bobs again. When? He says. Holy shit, what did I just get myself into? Poppy and Dad will be gone the night before your birthday. Dad has some awards dinner down in the city, so they're going to stay at a hotel. He takes the deepest breath ever, holds it in for a few seconds, and then slowly blows it out through his pursed lips. Lips I could very well be kissing in exactly 1 week. Now I'm gulping. An eternity passes. And another one. All right, he finally says. All right? Oh my God, what did I just do? We lock eyes. Okay, he says. Okay, I nod. Great. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Yeah? Do you mind if we sleep separately until then? I need to process. Process? Wow, that's like 7 nights. I know. Okay. Great. Thanks. You're welcome. And before I can say anything else, Courtney Cooper leaps out of the car we share and speed walks to his front door. 23. Good old-fashioned lover boy. A Day at the Races, 1976. Behind the hanging clothes in my closet, there are 3 posters on the wall. On the left is the sun, on the right is the planet Mars, and in the center is a 2nd Freddie Mercury. In this one, he's shirtless and in white spandex pants with a red belt. One hand is raised in a fist, and the other is holding a microphone to his open mouth. It's from Queen's 1982 LA show, and he's looking right into the camera, so it's almost like he's staring out at me from wherever he is in the beyond. This is my sanctuary, and these 3, my birth mom, Sunny, my twin brother Mars, and the illustrious Freddie Mercury, are my spiritual guides. I left during the 4th quarter of Coop's game so I could come get ready for tonight, and now I'm in said sanctuary, freaking the flip out. Shit, you guys, I say, looking up at the ceiling from where I'm lying on my back on the floor. Coop will be here in less than 30 minutes. I look at the 3 of them. No one responds. Has it really been 7 days already? I sit up now. Like, what the hell was I thinking? We've barely even seen each other since we agreed to do this. Which is true. Just as he said he would, Coop has slept at home since the night he said yes. As a matter of fact, he's even had Britt Nargali pick him up for school each morning, which probably isn't a bad thing. Being alone in the car with Ray has been damn near unbearable, so I probably would have dropped dead with him in there too, beamer full of friends and secrets and lies. Things are working out a little too perfectly, aren't they? Like, what are the odds Mama Nee would go with my dad's to stay downtown? Aren't they trusting us a little too much? Would you leave a pair of teens alone with 2 empty houses, Mom Dukes? I asked the Sun poster. And what do I even wear tonight? I showered and everything, but like, I mean, whatever I put on is probably coming off, right? Oh my God, he's totally going to see me naked. Face in hands. I shift to my knees and lean in close so I can whisper in Freddie's ear. Don't want Mom Dukes or Mars to hear this part. Freddie, is it weird that I've been dreaming about Coop? I peek over my shoulder, which is dumb, I know. There's no one else even in the house. Remember when I told you I saw him naked a while back and it made me feel some strangeness down in my secret place? Well, in these dreams, he's like, God, this is embarrassing. Not to mention, I'm whispering my innermost secrets to a poster. Okay, so he's naked, and he's coming toward me, and then he smiles, and I feel his hand on my stomach, and it's moving down, 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 and then I always wake up right before he makes contact, but when I do, I've got my legs all squeezed together, and my lady parts are throbbing. Ugh, and like, I get a little turned on sometimes when Brianna looks at me a certain way, or Ray puts her hands on my scalp or presses herself against me or touches me in certain totally G-rated places, like she has this thing where she likes to mess with the baby hair at the nape of my neck, and sometimes she'll slip her hands under the hem of my shirt when she hugs me, and her icy fingertips will graze the small of my back. But this throbbing thing from the dreams is a completely different sensation, Freddie. It honestly scares the shit out of... Joop? There's a knock on the closet door. Shit! Coop? Of course, Jackhole. Who else would it be? Who the hell are you talking to in there? This is not happening. I look at the clock. Yes, I do have a clock in my closet. You're 18 minutes early! So? So I'm not dressed yet! I scramble to my feet, shift the clothes so they hide the posters, and slip on the orange bra and undies set I got for tonight. Did I feel like the most anti-feminist woman to walk the face of the earth as I purchased underwear solely for the sake of appealing to Courtney Cooper's male gaze? Duh. But the goal is to be remembered, and orange is his favorite color. You're not dressed, he says. No. Well, maybe I should just come on in then, huh? You better not, perv. Ridiculous. I'll be out in a second. What to wear? What to wear? What to wear? Wait. Coop, did you shower? You did not just ask me that. Is it not a legitimate question? What do you think I am, some kind of cave dweller? I should come in there and spank you for even suggesting- Coop!